Chapter 6. The Viscount's face was painted, his lips rouged. He looked like a younger version of his sister. He had been a handsome young man. Now he seemed to be a startlingly beautiful woman. Johann, his mind still reeling from the touch of Rosanna, tried to understand. Leos was mad and dressed as his sister. He was the beast, a murderous she-creature with razor claws. But he was still deadly Leos, the calculating duelist. Two murderers, the brutal and the elegant, in one body. Leos slashed at the air, snarling. Harold parried with his knife. The Magnin clashed with Leos's claws, and there were sparks. Not hampered by the ball gown, Leos moved fast, striking out and just missing Harold's throat. The watchman stumbled over a carpet and sat down, his knife spinning away across the polished floorboards. Johann had his sword drawn. He thrust in front of Leos, preventing him from bending over Harold and tearing out the man's throat. Leos hissed and turned on Johann. The beast held up its claws and rattled them together like a woman showing off her painted nails. Johann was reminded of the man woman altered he had duelled with at the top of the world. For a moment, Leos was back. He stood up straight, the dress hanging absurdly on him, and beckoned with his right hand, his left reaching behind him. Too late. Johann saw he was picking up a sword from the top of a chest. The weapon had been neatly placed on top of a pile of folded garments, Leos's clothes. The claws didn't affect Leos's grip. His blade came up. Finally, it had come to this. Johann made the first strike, and Leos effortlessly brushed it away. They both had the measure of the fight and joined in serious sword work. The dress didn't slow Leos's feet, but there was a certain awkwardness about his carriage. Johann tried to work on the weakness, but Leos defended perfectly, turning every attack with contemptuous ease. Johann recognised the echoes of Valancourt of Nuln. He had seen the great teacher give a demonstration for the Emperor once. But Leos had improved upon his mentor's moves. There was a cruelty that undercut his elegance. He was less artful, but more dangerous. As they fought, Johann looked into Leos's empty face, searching for an answer. Rosanna would scry one, he hoped. For now, there was only the fight. A double thrust slipped through his guard, and he felt his cheek sting. He knew the cut was deep. He had forgotten Leos's claws. With a snarl, the beast latched its left hand to Johann's shoulder, biting deep. Leos pulled back, trying to get the distance between them for a decisive thrust. Johann drove his knee into Leos's stomach and swiped at his opponent's rapier, ignoring the pain in his shoulder. The hooks came free, and the duelists were apart again. Kleindienst was up, with his knife ready, but Leos was moving too fast to give him an opening. He was standing in front of Rosanna, protecting her. With a flurry of moves, Leos advanced, inflicting a dozen tiny rips upon Johann's clothes, scratching the skin beneath. That was for show, but also to wear him down. Johann had not fought seriously since the top of the world. He had never considered it a fit amusement. But now the instincts came back to him. What Leos had studied in gymnasia and dueling courts, he had learned in forests and battles. With each hurt, he felt stronger, faster. Technically, Leos was the greater duelist, and the savagery of the beast powered his attacks, but Johann was the skilled survivor. Johann picked up a candelabrum with his left hand, his shoulder protesting, and jabbed at Leos with it. The flames were snuffed, but the feint distracted the murderer. Johann saw his opportunity and took it, raising his sword arm in a muscle-stretching salute, then slicing down, chopping through the air with a whipping whistle. Leos tried to step back, but, for the first time in his career as a duelist, was caught by the end of the blade. The point of Johann's sword slipped into Leos's flesh, just below his collarbone, and drew a line down across his torso, tearing cloth and skin. The cut would be too shallow to do anything more than itch, but Johann hoped the flapping dress and the blood would slow him down, make him defeatable. Surprise flared in Leos's pale eyes. The dress tore, and Johann stepped back, bringing his sword up for another thrust. The dress gaped open, just as Johann's blade was aligned for the heart-piercing move. Johann saw Leos's white skin and couldn't move. He willed himself to make the fatal strike, but couldn't. He had won, but he had also lost. There was nothing else for it. Harald tossed the knife around, grabbing the blade firmly, and then threw it. The beast was caught. The knife sunk into the naked skin just below the heart.
Sister,
Leos said, and collapsed. For the first time, Harald was unsure about killing a murderer. He felt like a woman slayer. Rosanna slipped past him and went to the Viscount. He was still alive. The dress was torn from neck to waist. Baron Johann stood still, his sword trembling, his mouth open.
Sigmar's holy hammer,
swore Manouchkine. Viscount Leos von Liebowitz had been a woman. Rosanna was holding his head, like a cleric trying to shrive a distracted sinner.
This isn't enough, she said. We have to know why.
No, said the Baron. Rosanna, don't.
She ignored him and kissed the dying beast. As their mouths joined, a shock ran through the scryer's body.
Help her,
Johann said. Harald didn't know who he meant.